We've been studying lessons from the book of Proverbs throughout the summer, and we want to continue that today. We introduced a series last Sunday morning, really a series within a series, on wisdom for parents and children. About a month ago, when I decided that this was going to be one of the topics for this series on Proverbs, I had every intention of doing this in one lesson. And then I decided that there was just so much that was said to parents, and then so much that was said to children, and then some other things that needed to be considered as well, that it would take more than one lesson. And so I've settled on three. So last Sunday, we talked about lessons for parents, wisdom from the book of Proverbs for parents. And two things essentially that we did. First of all, we talked about the task itself, training up a child in the way he should go. And we suggested that it is difficult, it is important, and it is serious. As a matter of fact, I think I said something in that lesson along these lines. It is the most important thing that we do as parents, is to train our children. And then we spent a few minutes talking about some of the tools that God in His wisdom has given us to use to train our children. Discipline, the rod, and reproof. You can listen to that lesson. You can look at that lesson on the webpage if you haven't had a chance to hear it yet. If you want to go back and review some of those things, you can do that. I don't intend to do that this morning. I want to turn our attention this morning, though, to the second part of that equation, and that is, what does the book of Proverbs have to say to children? As a matter of fact, it really is this that convinced me that I needed to divide this up at least into two lessons. Because the book of Proverbs is addressed to children. Whether you understand children to be small children, toddlers, or whether you understand children to be teenagers, adolescents or teens, or whether you understand children to be grown adults, in the very beginning of the book is addressed as though it were written by a father to his son. And so much of the book of Proverbs falls into that pattern of being a parent speaking to a child. And so there really is a lot in the book of Proverbs. I'm just trying to scare you a little bit because I know that you're thinking, some of you are thinking, honestly, wow, then it's probably going to be a really long lesson, right? Hopefully not too long. And really, I hope not too long, because I really hope that the young people, not the babies, of course, but the young people, the children, the adolescents, the teenagers, the college students who are here, I hope you will pay very careful attention to what the book of Proverbs says to you this morning. Why is it important, first of all? When we think about wisdom for children, why is that so important? Two things that the book of Proverbs establish. And the first one is this. Children's behavior reflects on their parents. Children's behavior reflects on their parents. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. The English Standard Version of most of these passages will be on the screen. But still, I hope you'll follow along in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 7. Look what Solomon says, or look what the wise man says. The one who keeps the law is a son of understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. In Proverbs chapter 19, just a few pages back, and we will be, I think, almost completely, exclusively in the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13, a foolish son is ruin to his father. And verse 26, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Let me suggest to you just very quickly that I have made this point in lessons before, or something similar to this. I've made this point in Bible classes, high school classes, college age classes before, and sometimes the response is, well, we shouldn't really be all that concerned. What does it matter what other people think? Let me suggest something to everyone in the audience, but especially to young people.
It is naive in the extreme to think that it is not important what other people think about you. And it is naive in the extreme to think that it is not important what other people think about your parents. It means something to your parents. Their name means something to them. Their reputation, their standing in the community means something to them. And what Solomon is telling us, what the book of Proverbs is telling us, is your behavior reflects on your parents. Good behavior is a positive reflection in the eyes of other people on the training that you've been given by your parents. Poor behavior, rebellious behavior, is also a reflection on your parents. Whether that seems right to you or not is immaterial. Whether that seems fair to you or not really is completely beside the point. It is just true. It was true 3,000 years ago. It's true now. That the one who keeps the law is a son with understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. A foolish son brings shame and reproach upon his parents. It is important for children to learn wisdom like this wisdom from the book of Proverbs, because your behavior reflects on your parents. And it is extremely important that you know that that is true. Your parents are going to be judged, even by people who have never met your parents. Listen to this, young people. Your parents are going to be judged, even by people who have never met your parents, as they observe your behavior. And so what do you want people in the neighborhood to think about your parents? What do you want teachers to think about your parents? What do you want your peers or their parents to think about your parents? Children's behavior reflects on their parents. That is an absolute truism. And again, whether we like it or not, or whether we think it's fair or not, it is true. Secondly, and I think that in my study of this particular aspect of the book of Proverbs this time, this has confronted me in a more profound way than I ever remember it confronting me before. That we see over and over and over again that your parents' disposition depends to some degree on you, young people. You have the power to either delight your parents or make your parents happy. You have that power. And I'm talking to young children. I'm talking to teenagers. I'm talking to young adults. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take it even beyond that. I'm going to try to remember to come back and say this again. But when you are adults, children, when you are adults and you have children of your own, everything that we're saying is still going to be true about your own parents. Your behavior as an adult reflects on your parents. Your parents, your older parents' happiness to some degree is in your hands. By the same token, the grief of your parents can be in your hands as well. And this is a recurring theme in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Happy, sad. Glad, sorrow. Based on what? Based on what? Based on the weather? Based on the stock market? Based on how well their team did? Based on how much money they've got? None of that. A wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. And again, be impressed with how often this is restated in various forms in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. A child makes himself known by his acts. And that has an impact on the parents. Chapter 23 And we might have used just chapter 23 as a scripture reading for last Sunday morning's lesson and this Sunday morning's lesson and tonight's lesson. But just four verses. Verse 15, beginning. My son, if your heart is wise, this is the Father now, not God the Father. This is the Father, the physical Father of this boy. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. Verse 16, my inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Look at that collectively. Look at those four verses collectively. You want to make your parents happy. You want to make them glad. You want them to exult. You want them to rejoice. Be wise yourself. Speak right things. And you'll make your parents happy. That is a truism. But listen, it works the other way as well. In chapter 17 and verse 21, he who sires a fool gets himself sorrow. And the father of a fool has no joy. Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. You know, sometimes I think, and maybe this varies depending on how old the child is. An adolescent might not have the ability yet to grasp this in its full measure. I think teenagers do. I think teenagers get it. I don't have any doubt about that at all. And adolescents, understand that your behavior is a determining factor. It is not necessarily the determining factor. It isn't the only determining factor, but it is a determining factor in whether or not your parents are happy or sad. Your behavior. Your behavior. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. What an incredibly heavy responsibility to bear, to think that my behavior has caused my parents bitterness, has caused my parents grief, has caused my parents sorrow. And again, I've heard young people say, well, you know, I'm independent and I have free will and I don't care what they think, or my behavior doesn't have any impact on my family. My behavior doesn't have any impact on my parents at all. That is so incredibly foolish, so incredibly naive. It absolutely does. And again, I will say, and I'm going to keep trying to remind myself to say this. That's true if you're 6. It's true if you're 16. It's true if you're 26. It's true if you're 46. Your parents' disposition still is tied very closely to your conduct, to your behavior. I promise you this, young people, your parents never stop thinking about you as their children, even when you have your own children. They never stop thinking about you as their child. And that's always going to be true as long as they are alive. On some level, to some degree, your behavior when you go off to college, your behavior when you move out and when you get married and when you have a family and when you get a job, your behavior, your choices, your conduct will have an impact on the happiness or the grief of your parents. Again, I understand that I'm laying what seems to be a heavy responsibility on the shoulders of children. I don't think I'm doing that unintentionally. I don't think I'm doing that unbiblically or unscripturally. I think that is precisely the point of passages like the ones that we've looked at, is that children can bring either delight or grief to their parents. And again, we're not talking about you got a hit in the big game, or you scored a goal in soccer, or you got straight A's on your report card, all of those kinds of things. We're talking about your behavior. We're talking about your choices. We're talking about whether or not you are wise. We're talking about whether or not you make good spiritual decisions. It has an impact on your parents. So what I want to do for a few minutes in the lesson is I want to think about some of the things that the book of Proverbs has to say to those of you who are children. And that's most of us in the audience. That's many of us in the audience. Both of my parents are gone. And I would give much to be able to have them both back, even if it was just long enough to tell them how sorry I am for the grief that I gave them from time to time. Or to have them back just long enough to thank them for all the things that they did for me, for all the provisions, for all the encouragement, for all the supports, for all the teaching that they did to me. So I'm not in that category. But many of us are. You still have living parents. And if you do have living parents, regardless of how old you might be, I'm talking to you. So we're going to start with about 4 years old, all right? Maybe three if you're really on the ball. But from there up, what is wisdom for you? What is it that you need to know to be wise? And there are several things about your parents. The first thing is listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. A wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever known a young person that fits that description in the last part of that verse? An adolescent, a teenager, a young adult who refuses to listen to the advice and counsel and wisdom of their parents, who refuses to be disciplined by their parents, scoffs at their parents. We'll say more about that here in just a few moments. Generally speaking, what is your opinion about a young person who you see rebelling against the authority of their parents? How do you feel about that? When you see that happening, usually in Walmart, right? Maybe Kroger's. When you see that happening, do you step back and smile and say, oh, isn't that sweet? Look at that. A rebellious teenager standing up for himself, embarrassing his mother. Oh, that's just so wonderful. You never thought a thing like that, did you? What did you think? Even a young child, even an adolescent, the 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old, when you saw them willfully rebelling against their parents, and many times, thinking back to the lesson last Sunday, the parents just stepping back and taking it and not doing anything about it, but that's last Sunday's lesson. How did you feel about that? How did you think about that? We don't, even in our postmodern world, even in a postmodern culture, we don't look with kindness, we don't look with approval on that kind of behavior. That's exactly what Solomon is saying. Listen to your father's instruction. Listen to your father's rebuke. Chapter 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction. I know that the New Testament teaches that we need to be careful throwing around the word fool. But listen, that doesn't mean that there is never an occasion where the word fool is not appropriate. That doesn't mean that we can never, under any circumstances, recognize something as foolish behavior. Let's just call it what it is. A child who refuses to listen to his parents is a fool. A fool despises his father's instructions, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Chapter 23 and verse 22. Can you almost hear the begging, the pleading in the voice of Solomon as he writes this? Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen this? And you know, maybe in the eyes of your own children, watching their eyes. Have you ever seen this? Or maybe at Walmart, have you seen this in the eyes of a young person, where the eyes kind of roll back in the head? Look at chapter 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, listen, young people, you can mock your parents without ever opening your mouth. And sometimes young people do. You can despise, you can scoff at your parents without ever opening your mouth. And what parent is there among us who has not said at some point or another, you better not cut those eyes at me like that. Don't look at me that way. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother. You see what's being said there? There are no words being spoken. This isn't a child saying, I refuse. This is a child with those eyes rolling back in their head. You know the look. You know the look. How serious is that? The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. I'd say it's pretty serious, wouldn't you? Listen to your parents. Number two, be careful how you speak to your parents and how you speak about your parents. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Chapter 20 and verse 20, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. I want to say something, of course, all of this is personal, but I want to say something especially personal from my heart to all the children who can understand what I'm saying. There are lots of things in my life that make me angry, and that doesn't make me proud. But of all of the things in life that make me angry, if you, young people, children, teenagers, college students, if you want to make me angry very quickly, say something disrespectful about your parents. And you and I are going to be at odds. Say something disrespectful about your mom, about your dad, and we're going to have problems. I think I might have told you all this story before, but I coached Little League Baseball for 10 years. I wasn't a very good coach. I had a lot of great players, but I wasn't a very good coach. But I had one little boy who was an especially good pitcher. And he was a really good pitcher, and I pretty well knew that if he was pitching in a game, we were going to win. We would, if we could just score a run, we would probably win. And almost all the time we did. He was struggling one night, and his dad was my assistant coach, one of my assistant coaches. And so I sent his dad out to talk to him, try to settle him down a little bit. And I couldn't hear what was going on, but I could tell that it wasn't pleasant. And so his dad came back in the dugout kind of shaking his head. And I asked him what happened, and he said, well, you know, I tried to tell him, slow down your delivery, you know, think about it. I tried to tell him, you know, just to calm down, just to settle down, and he snapped at me, and he said something, and I won't repeat what he said. But he was getting ready to throw the next pitch. I called time, and I started for the pitcher's mound. And the home plate umpire, who's a good friend of mine, came over and said, now, Gary, you know if you go out there, you're going to have to take this boy off the mound, second visit in an inning. And I said, oh, it's going to be way more than that. I didn't just take him off the mound. I took him out of the game. He didn't play for the rest of the game. He didn't play the next game. Why? Had nothing to do with his performance. I told him, if I ever hear you talking back to your father, or any adult, if I ever hear you using disrespectful language of any adult, you will never play on this team again. You want to get on my bad side pretty quickly. Say something disrespectful to your parents. Be careful how you speak to them, and be careful how you speak about them. Number three, don't mistreat your parents. That might seem an odd point to make, but the book of Proverbs does. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, that is no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. Be careful how you treat your parents. Don't mistreat them. Now, we're not talking here especially about talking back to them or saying something disrespectful. Be careful how you treat your parents. You have a responsibility, an obligation to your parents. When you become adults and your parents get older and your parents don't have the ability to take care of themselves, that responsibility falls primarily on you. That's part of God's plan for how we work together as families from beginning to end. But be careful how you treat your parents. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Whoever robs his father. What? Whoever robs, you don't think that happens all the time? That people steal from their parents? Rob their parents? Don't mistreat your parents. Number four, pull your weight. I like this. Pull your weight. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son. Young people, what are you doing this summer? What are you doing to help your parents this summer? He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. You know, there are all kinds of kitschy little sayings out there. And you know, people use these sayings and you know, sometimes they think, well, this really makes a good point. Maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. But let me tell you something. Something that maybe you've heard your parents say, that it is not an insignificant saying. It is the absolute truth. We ain't running no hotel here. I ain't your maid. Or some form of that. Some form of that. What are you doing in the home to try to help your parents make the home be everything that God intended for it to be? What are you doing to help? Pull your weight. And you know, that can start very early. I mean, it just can. Teaching children to help around the house. When they're really small, little jobs, easy jobs. When they get bigger, more important jobs, larger responsibilities. I mean, what does it say about us as parents when we treat our children as though they were living in a hotel? When we don't expect any help from them, cutting the grass, vacuuming the carpet, dusting. You know, I used to make the point here, washing the dishes or washing the dishes if you were raised in Indiana. Now loading the dishwasher, I guess, right? Doing the laundry. Washing the car. Raking the leaves. Shoveling the occasional snow that we get. What are you doing? What are you contributing? Do you roll your eyes back in your head when your parents ask you to do something to help in the house? Do you refuse when your parents ask you to pull your weight? He who gathers in summer is a prudent son. And number five, watch the company you keep. And we know from the New Testament that this is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, don't be fooled. Don't deceive yourself. Bad company corrupts good morals. But, you know, Paul didn't just pull that out of the air. He was inspired, of course, but Paul didn't just, you know, make that up. It was a principle that was hundreds of years old, centuries old, by the time Paul said it to the Corinthians. Solomon said it. The book of Proverbs says, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 3, he who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. Now we're talking about a son here, and I don't want to be insensitive. But that kind of behavior necessarily infers that this is an adult son who's engaged in this kind of behavior. Chapter 28 and verse 7, the one who keeps the law is a son with understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. Be careful about the companions you keep. Listen, young people. And again, to the adolescents, this would not be as meaningful as it's going to be, I promise you, as it's going to be by the time you get to be a teenager. When your parents question you about your companions, when your parents are concerned about your companions, thank God for your parents. They are concerned about your soul. Your parents know that bad company, evil company, corrupts good morals. And so I want you to be thankful. Don't cut your eyes at your parents when they ask you, who are you going out with? Who are you going to be with? Be thankful that you have parents who understand the importance of other people's influence on you. Thank God for parents who are concerned enough about you that they want to know as much as they can know about the people with whom you are associating. Well, that's wisdom for children. Thank you all, the young people, especially for paying. And I've noticed a lot of the children paying very careful attention. And I appreciate that so much. Children are such an incredible blessing from God. But children have the power to either make their parents happy or to cause their parents grief. Tonight, by the way, one final lesson. I want to go back and think about Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. But by way of extending the invitation this morning, it is not a coincidence, I think, that so often in the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, but really we see it with God and the children of Israel in the Old Testament as well. God's people are called His children. God's people are called His children. Let me tell you something. God's children hold the power within their hands to either make God happy or to cause God grief, to cause God sorrow. So the question would be for you this morning as we bring the lesson to a close, if you are not a Christian, if you are not yet a child of God, God has adopted you into His family, why not? Why would you not want to call God your father and have God call you His son or His daughter in that sense? Become a part of the family of God. But if you are a part of the family of God, what kind of child are you? Are you the kind of child that is bringing delight to your Heavenly Father? Or are you a child that is causing God grief? If that second, causing God grief, causing God the Father grief is the case, do whatever you have to do to fix that. Publicly acknowledging sin, if that's what the need is, privately between you and God, between you and God and some other person or persons. But let's all make the commitment to be wise children of our Heavenly Father. And if we can help you in any way to do that, the song that Nathan has selected is Living for Jesus, verses 2 and 3, as you can see on the screen in the chorus at the end of the song. That's really not that important, except we don't want anything to distract us. We don't want anything to distract you while you're thinking about whether or not you need to respond to the invitation. Come down to one of these front seats and let us help you. While we stand and sing, we invite you to come.